When he'd finished, I asked how his investigations were going. He shook his head and looked glum, which was not a normal expression for him.
Not well, I'm afraid. I've made little progress with the Septimus Slug murder, and none with the earlier one. Although Dr. Ramage has given me a rough sketch showing an impression of how the skeleton's face might have looked in life. In addition, it'll be a chore to catch that boar, and I'll have to become a magic wielder to arrest Ms. Kielder, if she really is back.
On the bright side, I quipped, your poetry is improving.
I beg your pardon.
Chore, boar, wielder, Kielder. You're a poet and you didn't know it.
I see. I'm not convinced accidental rhyming counts as poetry, though it might pass as doggerel, I suppose. I would rather regard poetry as the interpretation of nature and the understanding of humankind written in a style that blends delicacy of words with grace of harmony and rhythm.
Really?
There are, of course, other opinions. I respect them, even if I can't agree with them.
I thought it was all about rhyming.
No, dear,
said Mrs. Goodfellow.
Poetry is when emotions find the right thoughts, the thoughts find the right words, and the words find the right form.
Is it? I asked.
It can be, said Hobbs. But I must away, because although I'd be happy to discuss poetry until the lowing herd winds slowly o'er the lea, I have interviews to conduct.
Eh? What lowing herd?
He means he could discuss poetry until the cows come home,
said Mrs. Goodfellow.
He is misquoting Gray.
Of course, I said. What's Gray?
Thomas Gray, the poet, dear. From his elegy written in a country churchyard.
Oh, yes, I thought it was. I bluffed.
You can come along if you'd like, said Hobbs. It might keep you out of trouble.
I'd love to, but I really should call Daphne. It is Valentine's Day, after all. Is that all right?
I'm in no rush. You can still come if you hurry up about it.
Thanks.
And hurry up now, said Hobbs a few moments later. What's stopping you?
They've had a row, said Mrs. Goodfellow. Haven't you, dear?
I nodded. How did you know?
It's written in your face and your behaviour.
My behaviour?
It's been rather distracted, dear. You poured tea into the sugar dish instead of your mug and drank it. And you buttered 2 slices of toast, put them in a bowl, and added milk and the marmalade. Then you ate the mess without apparently noticing. You are showing classic symptoms of having fallen out with your beloved.
True, said Hobbs. But your classic symptoms are more extreme than most. Go and make that call, and quickly.
I did as I was told. The only trouble was that nobody answered. After the third attempt, I slammed down the phone.
Not in, said Hobbs. I shook my head. You could always text her.
I suppose I could, but I'd rather speak to her. The truth was that, while I did know how to text, I had clumsy fingers, and anyway I was suspicious that my phone had been possessed by imps, since it had a tendency to put my words through the blender, changing them into utterly incoherent gibberish, or occasionally into downright insulting rudeness. My last attempt had been a couple of weeks earlier, when Daphne had texted to say she'd be back early, but would have to be heading out for a lecture on Egypt within an hour. When I'd replied, attempting to let her know that I'd prepare an early dinner, the imps had struck, and I'd instead informed her that I'd preserve a warty donger. Subsequent attempts at correction had resulted in such a bizarre stream of balderdash that she'd come straight home, worrying I'd had a stroke.
You know best, said Hobbs. Are you ready now?
Yes. I grabbed my coat and followed him out the door. Where are we going?
We're going to see Mr. Godley.
Old Augustus or Kev the Rev?
Augustus. I want to show him Dr. Ramage's picture.
Why? I know she's very pretty, but at his age? Augustus Godley, having survived for over 100 years, was the oldest human in town.
I meant the sketch Dr. Ramage gave me, said Hobbs,
striding along Black Dog Street.
Not a portrait of her.